must be a big man.
Christie was right, in more ways than one. Once they reached the defense perimeter of the Ville's headquarters, Kilburn relaxed a little. He sent most of the patrol off duty, ordering them to carry all of the stranger's confiscated weapons to the armory. The Vista was in surprisingly good shape. It had been freshly painted and had its own water turbo power plant from the river that surged behind it. There was a main lobby area, which seemed to have been built from giant redwood tree trunks, some of them over 15 feet in circumference. Armed guards were everywhere, carrying automatic rifles.
You get many threats from outside?
Not often. Not until... Nice try.
No wars with another Baron?
Why do you ask that?
It happens. I never met a Baron slept easy at night, or didn't look back over his shoulder 10 times every minute.
Baron Nelson defeated his predecessor a long time ago. He died. But his son lives and leads a pack of hired raiders, homeless bastard dogs.
This man have a name?
Sure. Good name. Seidler. Calls himself Wizard. Got half a dozen men is all. Good at what they do. Rape, burning, torture, and chilling.
A woman appeared at the balcony of the gallery that ran around the entrance hall and beckoned to Kilburn.
Baron's ready. Says to bring them up to his rooms.
We best get moving. Not a good idea to keep him waiting.
The room had the same rough-hewn timber look as the rest of the fortress. Heavy shutters were folded back from the windows, revealing a beautiful view of picturesque mountains. A log fire blazed in the enormous hearth, and a brindled hound lay asleep on a bearskin rug. A long desk in dark polished wood stood in one corner, and several chairs were scattered around. A tall grandfather clock ticked sonorously close to a half-open door that led through to what Ryan figured must be the Baron's sleeping quarters. A walnut gun rack stood against the long wall of the room, holding a variety of good-quality blasters, 3 hunting rifles, and half a dozen pump-action shotguns, as well as a shelf of blue-steel automatic pistols. 2 paintings hung in the room. One showed a great stag, standing at bay among misty hills, facing its unseen pursuers with a stubborn grandeur. The other was a good 10 feet long and 4 feet high. At first it seemed to show only a turbulent fall of foaming, peat-colored water in a rainy, dull landscape of weathered moors. But as Ryan stepped across the patterned carpet, the overhead light glinted off the picture, showing a tiny flash of gold and silver in the midst of the frozen torrent. A salmon had been caught by the artist in the midst of its climactic leap for life.
Stand here and wait, and take some advice. Ears open and mouths closed. Best that way.
A scent of tobacco lingered in the room, as though the Baron smoked a pipe. In the far chamber, they could all hear the muffled sound of organ music.
Bach staccato and fugue.
The door opened wider, and a small woman came slowly in. She was of average height and build, with a mane of pure white hair that tumbled to her waist. Tiny yellow and white flowers were threaded through its unbrushed length. She looked to be about 60, with a pale face and nervous, darting eyes. Her pale, slender fingers tangled in front of her, as though they were wrestling with one another.
My lady?
The woman smiled vaguely at Rick, and sat on an embroidered chaise lounge near the fire. Ryan noticed that her feet were bare.
Dowager mother of Baron Nelson.
Ryan figured that the old lady was at least 2 cards short of an inside straight. There was movement in the far room, and the doorway was filled by the figure of the Baron of Vistaville, Colorado. Alfred Nelson. Like his mother, he had hair that was as white and pure as wind-washed snow, and a long beard to go with it. At a quick guesstimate, Ryan thought that the Baron was several inches over 7 feet tall, but he wasn't thin and frail. His shoulders were broad, his chest deep, and he probably weighed around 300 pounds. Alfred Nelson wore a russet woolen jerkin over dark green corduroy pants, tucked into polished brown knee-high boots. On his right hip, in a hand-tooled Texas rig, he carried a pearl-handled Smith & Wesson Magnum with a 10-inch barrel. On his left hip, the Baron wore a sheathed cavalry saber with a brass hilt. Ryan wasn't a man easily impressed, but he had to admit that Baron Nelson was an impressive figure. But there was something else beyond the massive size. Dean identified it first.
Doesn't he look sad?
The lined face that turned slowly to look along the row of 7 strangers was tainted with the deepest misery, and his voice was surprisingly light, almost boyish.
These are the Outlanders who are responsible for ending the magnificent life of Big Bob. Are they not, Mr. Coburn?
That's right, Baron.
Why are they here?
Baron?
You aren't usually slow in the brain, Mr. Coburn. It was a simple question.
You mean, why didn't I have them chilled in the woods?
Yes. Poachers and intruders into my lands know what to expect.
If I may say so, Baron, that's a crassly arrogant and pompous statement, typical of the manner in which power corrupts and absolute power corrupts absolutely.
Baron Nelson looked once in Doc's direction, then turned back to Rick Coburn, as though the old man hadn't spoken.
I pay you, Mr. Coburn, to be the cleansing wind that purges darkness from this place. We know how bitter and infinite that darkness can be. Do we not, Mr. Coburn?
Yeah, Baron. Guess you haven't heard all the news yet. These seven aren't from around here. They were with three others who...
Livestock and game have been slaughtered.
Not by them.
Big Bob?
Yeah, Baron. They took him out all right, but they,
I don't wish to hear. Take them out and hang them.
The women and kid as well?
For the first time since he'd entered the large room, Baron Alfred Nelson showed some sort of positive reaction.
Women and a child. I hadn't bothered to notice that, Mr. Coburn.
Can I say something, Baron?
Why not? Your name is...
Ryan Carter. Years back, I was the son of Baron Titus Carter of the Villa Front Royal over east in the Shens.
And now you come here to hunt down the largest grizzly that Deathlands has ever known. A muty animal bigger than anything that the...
Coburn shuffled his feet, glancing sideways at Ryan, half closing one eye in something that might have been a wink of support. Or might not.
You were hired to kill Big Bob. To take his head and his hide and sell it to someone. Who was the man behind your blasters, Carter?
Nobody. We were moving through. Didn't know we were on anyone's land. Saw tracks of the grizzly. Knew that it was a big son of a bitch. Next thing we know, we're on a trail by a river and it's rushing us. Could have chilled any of us, or all of us. So we chilled it first.
We didn't want to chill it. Not something as magnificent as that, but it was the bear or us.
What wonderful hair you have. And your name is...
Christy, Baron. Christy Roth, late of the Vale of Harmony.
You say you had no choice in taking out the beast?
None.
Mr. Coburn?
Way it looked, the grizzly came charging at them. If they were after it for a trophy, they'd have tracked it and picked it off real careful. Reckon they put close on 50 rounds into it.
It would take that much to stop Big Bob. I believe it.
Ask them.
Later, Mother.
No.
No, Mother.
Then I will ask them.
You will not.
The Baron took three long strides, towering over the white-haired woman. She shrank from his glaring anger.
Keep your mouth shut, woman! I decide what'll be told and what questions will be asked in Vista. I and I alone!
But he was such a sweet child, Alfred.
And she was a good woman. A good woman turned horse slut, Mother! I don't grieve for her passing, but boy...
Now the puzzle was becoming a little clearer to Ryan. The sec patrols and the triple careful defenses around the ville. Something had happened to the Baron's child.
Your son or daughter?
A son, Outlander. I will tell you something of it here and now. It was 3 months ago, in the days of summer sun.
Zeb Nelson had been 8 days past his 11th birthday and was the only living child of Baron Alfred and his woman, Claire. The boy was tall for his age, already close to 6 feet. He was good-looking, apart from a slight squint in his left eye. Zeb had his mother's reddish hair and pale complexion. Vistaville hadn't suffered any serious trouble from Wizard Seidler over at Yuma for more than 3 years. There was an occasional raiding party and a fire on the northeast side of Nelson's land, some cattle taken before the fall roundup, and a couple of good hands butchered one July morning in a line shack beyond the river. Zeb was very keen on fishing and was sometimes allowed to go after trout at Silverhead Lake, up a broad valley 8 miles west of Vista. Well within the safe area.
Well within the safe area.
Got zones.
Green in and around the ville itself, moves to yellow when you get 2 miles off, orange after 10 miles, and then red for another 10 miles. After that, you're going into the unclaimed lands, and you might easy find a Yuma patrol.